writing.
I don't know anything about Rebecca Duffy. She is so far above
me. Okay, well, this is going to go great.
That we are going to be learning about, we're going to be learning about the enigma that is Bex.
That is Bex.
Rebecca, don't call me Becky Duffy.
Yes.
You can call her. You know what I've learned? You can call Rebecca almost anything else, as long as it's, of course, respectful and in love and all that. But I mean, you can call her like any other variant. You can call her Bex. Mm-hmm. You can call her Becca. Yep. You can, of course, call her Rebecca, right? Yep. You can call her in the right context. And I say this with love, in the right situation, you can call her mom. Right? She's like the PDGA's mom. You can call her practically anything. But if you call her Becky, you need to be running away as you say it, because she's going to be taking the earrings off as she comes after you.
This is true.
See? And don't ever call her late for dinner.
Especially at that restaurant right next to US Masters. Don't, because it's a pretty good barbecue.
It was joint. Rattlesnake Barbecue is what they call it.
What's the name of the restaurant again? The official, the real
Dexter
name?
Dexter Lake Club.
Dexter Lake Club. That's right.
Yes.
The Lake
Home
Club.
Home of the Animal House.
Yeah. Yep. Home of the scene in Animal House where the guys come up and say, mind if we dance with your dance? Yeah. 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 I didn't believe when someone told me that when we were up in Oregon last year for the PDGA's Tim Selinski US Masters, someone told me you're going to be right next to the restaurant from Animal House. And I hear that stuff when I travel. I don't know if you do. I mean, you probably did it one time, Jen.
No.
You know. No, I'm saying when you travel in general, where people tell you, oh, you're going to be near this, or oh, you're going to be near that, or oh, you should check out this park or this, like you probably get tips from your friends and from people all the time. And I have found that a reasonable number of the tips I get actually end up not being true because they misremember the city that something's in or whatever. But I always try to remember them in case I can get lucky and get like a cool meal out of a trip or go see a neat, interesting historical place.
And resting, doing nothing. Eat, sleep, disc, go to bed.
I mean, like, right. Well, that's like, true. But in this particular case, I was told, oh, you can go see the restaurant from Animal House. And that's so random that I just thought, okay, yeah, whatever. And then sure enough, Rebecca, you were like, oh yeah, I go there all the time. It's right over here. And it's like, you were just so casual about it.
Yeah.
So I drove over there and started taking pictures with my phone and sending them to people like my dad. Like, you won't believe where I'm eating. And of course, a certain category of person, like I didn't even have to tell them, why is this familiar to you? They immediately were like, oh yeah, animals. So that was pretty funny. But our guest today is Rebecca Duffy.
Are we done with it?
I'm just trying to entertain Jen, just doing what I can.
Our beautiful, one and only special guest of the day, Rebecca Duffy,
with an important announcement. It'd be weird, though, if I made you say it, so yeah. I'm going to say it for you. Introducing now Rebecca Duffy, Director of Competition for the PDGA. Applause here.
Thank you.
Rebecca, congratulations on the new post. By the time folks are able to listen to or view this podcast, it will have been announced, at least in writing, at pdga.com. And who knows where else it will go from there. But you are indeed the new director of competition for the PDGA. If I'm not mistaken, the first woman to hold the head of a directorate in at least the modern organization of the PDGA's sort of business structure, if you will, which is a really big deal. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that is a big deal to me. But, you know, I like to think of it as the most qualified person who happens to be a woman. So
there you go.
So much more eloquent than me. Yeah. Not surprising. Rebecca, for our listeners, though, before we go into all kinds of other, you know, fun things, we don't even know where this conversation is going to go. Can you describe that section of the PDGA's sort of organizational structure? What it is that competition entails, the people that work as part of that department, and I might add work really, really hard. Mm-hmm. These are the guys and gals on the road.
Yeah.
constantly. Can you just describe for us what that entails?
Well, a competition director oversees the operation and logistics team. Not only do you lead that team, but you're also part of that team. I report to Doug Bierkes, who's the executive director. And what we do, we make sure that our majors are the best that they can be, working with the local organizing committees. And, you know, a lot of people have their off seasons. Our off season picks up because we're getting ready for the next year majors. So we really don't have an off season. We travel to each site doing site visits. We also, you know, it's just so much travel. A lot of people don't realize how much we're on the road. Like sometimes we're on the road 30 days straight just because we have back-to-back events. But not only that, not only do we concentrate on the majors, but we also concentrate on our partnership with DGBT and DGN. We want to support them in any way that we can. And, you know, just being competition director, it's a big shoes to fill, you know, with our past directors. And, you know, I'm excited and I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
For those that don't know, for those maybe newer to the game, those that haven't gotten to play in or attend a PDGA major, you need to know this. PDGA majors are typically 4 or 5 days worth of competition, long days, I might add. Yes. Days worth of competition. In some situations, a group may play more than one round in that day. Mm-hmm. You've got to go typically to the day before competition starts to have all of the check-in, the player meeting, all of those things. So now we're up to 5 or 6 days of work, and that's just for the event. That doesn't count setup. Mm. That doesn't count all of the things that go into getting a course ready, assets on the course. We're talking about signage, flags, wayfinding, all of those things. We're talking about painting, mm-hmm, or stringing OB lines. And then on top of that, we're talking about helping local operating committees with what they've maybe been doing for months. And sometimes a storm or something else has recently hit the area. The O&L team jumps in, all hands on deck, to do everything necessary to get courses into final, ready for competition play. It's incredible. You guys can be on site for one event, 2 weeks,
yeah,
plus.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Sometimes
2 weeks plus, because some of our majors have the field events, and the field events happen the weekend before. So in every major, it either has to be set up 3 days or 4 days ahead of time. The course needs to be in competition ready so people can go out and practice those 3 to 4 days. We have to be there at least a couple of days before that to set up our assets that are actually going to be on the course so people can practice with our assets on the course. So we can be anywhere from 10 to 12 days at one event.
It's kind of incredible, because now I challenge you to go to PDGA.com. If you're watching and listening, look up PDGA majors for 2024, see how they space out on the calendar. And it's easy to see how somebody like Rebecca and her team will be on the road 30 days, 40 mm-hmm days. Was there a time you were like 45, 47? I'm trying to remember the piece of a conversation you and I had last year where I was just going home and you were like, yeah, I'm not.
This girl never quits working, ever quits working. And we had multiple back-to-back majors the last couple of years.
Yeah.
There like was, back-to-back weekends.
There was one time I was on the road for 35 days straight. It was, you know, anywhere from, you know, masters, juniors, and then you had your junior AMs. Yeah. You know, it was, our schedule is insane. And that's not even including the elite events that we try to support. And so
that's right.
When you throw those in, and you know, I live in Oregon, so it's better for me to stay out on the road sometimes than taking that full day of travel, coming back home, and then leaving the next day to go out to another event. So usually I stay on the road, which is beneficial, you know, to the PDGA, because we need to be there early and make sure that, you know, these courses are ready for, you know, these competitors come in, because we want the competitors to have the best experience possible. And if we're not there early to make sure that happens, then sometimes it just falls through the cracks.
Rebecca, yourself and the members on your team serve as marshals at both majors and at disc golf pro tour events at times. And that's in a cool way. That's sort of where you got your foot in the door, so to speak, with the PDGA. Can you take us back to the circumstances that surrounded that? Is it 14 years, 15? This is year 15, maybe?
Well, you know, since I'm only 30, that is...
I was going to say, how are you doing all this when you're only 29? That's incredible. So you started marshalling when you were four.
Yes.
And then...
In 2009, I was really hugely introduced to the PDGA. I started playing in 2006, became a member right after, you know, I started playing. But in 2009, I was awarded the Bob West, and actually it was 2010 because you get awarded the year before. So right. I won the 2009, and I got this phone call from Brian Graham with his accent. And just asking me, you know, is this Rebecca Duffy and his accent? And that's how I got introduced. He found out I was hosting a radio show and wanted to do PDGA radio back then, but in a different circumstance. He wanted to be playing underneath the big tent, the big star tent that we used to set up. And he just wanted that over and over and just, you know, going over, you know, the commercials and just PDGA radio during the whole event. So instead of that, he introduced me to John Dusler and I became part of the Disc Golf Planet TV, the original live stream, by the way. So after that, I started marshalling, you know, in the end of 2010 and then 2011. And, you know, I learned from the best of the best. I learned from Michael Downs. I learned from Andrew Sweeten. And, you know, just being out on the road with them, watching them and, you know, old souls. And one of our most seasoned marshals, Bill Newman, you know, he was out there when I first started. He's been around for a while. So, you know, it was amazing just taking those experiences that I had from doing those majors and marshalling. And, you know, and I made mistakes. I made some mistakes, but I took those mistakes and I learned from them. And how can I make this better just by marshalling? And this was, you know, you get a stipend for marshalling, but it's almost volunteer, just like the board of directors is all volunteer. And at that time I was on the board of directors and marshalling. So, you know, just having that on the ground experience and showing that I could be a great marshal and, you know, just learning from the best out there. And I'm still learning. I learn something new probably every day, if not every other day. And I just soak it in.
Did your tenure on the board of directors at this time, we're talking early, I guess it'd be 2010s. Feels weird to call it 20 teens when that doesn't kick in until 2013 and beyond. 11. But there's 2010, yeah. There's 2011, there's 2012. So your involvement there is as a marshal and serving on the board of directors, and then you elevated there on the board of directors within what, a year, 2 years?
So within a year. Yeah, I was secretary. The board elected me as secretary, and then our current president at that time resigned, so I was voted in as interim president and then voted in by the board as president and served as president until the end of 2017.
So what do you remember about that era? A lot of people, as we've talked about all the time on this show, came into disc golf around COVID, you know, a big boom. So there are a lot of listeners who look back only so far. What were the hallmarks of that era pre-COVID in terms of disc golf and its growth and its popularity? What was going on? What were you overseeing as president during that half a dozen years?
I don't remember anything.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough.
So first of all, there were 6 employees that turned to 9 employees for the PDGA. We now have over 40 employees. So, I mean, that's huge. Our budget was really small. Our operations and logistics team today, back then, was Michael Downs and Marty Gregoire, who was media at the time. That was our That was our operations logistics team. That was it. Yeah. Brian Graham, who was our executive director at the time, would go to every event and help where he could. But Michael set up everything by himself at that time. And not only our majors, but we had our national tour events that were traveled to. So, you know, some of the big things that we worked on, I brought back the women's committee, and I had to find somebody to fulfill that chair spot. And that person, at that time was Valerie Jenkins Doss. And she accepted, and, Sarah Nicholson, Stephanie Vincent, there were quite a few people. Emma Rose Hanley was on that women's committee, and we all had this brainstorm, and, we came up with, the Women's Global, which is still going on. And that was huge for women. And at that time, our staff was not prepared for what was coming with our first Women's Global. And now it's just like they just flip a switch now, and that happens. But that was one of the things that I worked on was women's, the women's committee, reestablishing that. And it has grown into something that I could hardly imagine today. I mean, the women's committee is very, very active, and I hope it continues to be that way. We were doing media contracts with Disc Golf Planet, and also Terry Miller was coming out with his new platform, Smashbox. And then Joe Maz comes in later on, but the early days, our media was Disc Golf Planet and Terry Miller. So, you know, it's just amazing to me how much it's grown. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people say, we grew so much in the pandemic, and yeah, we did. Our membership grew, but I just think the PDGA now is just now catching up to what we grew in pandemic, you know, catching up to our membership, and we're starting to offer that. So, I mean, to be part of the PDGA for so many years as a volunteer and a marshal, and now an employee, it's surreal to me because it is a passion. Disc golf is my passion. I'm a terrible player. I'm a great putter, but I am a terrible player. I can't drive that disc for the life of me. But once in a while, I'll it'll go farther than I think it, you know, should have. But the putting is my game. But, you know, propelling our sport is what my passion is. And I'm so glad I got in to the back end. And I'm so glad that there were a lot of people that started my career here locally and in the PDGA, and still my mentors. Big Dog will always be a mentor of mine when it comes to the PDGA.
When you've been active in anything for so many years, like, it just becomes family. And I think those of us who have been around, involved, major parts of, like, you've been a major part of the PDGA for a very long time. It's different. It just, the words don't describe it as well, because it's such a family. It's not a job. It's actually both, I guess, but because you do put in so much hard work, but the connections that you make, it's totally different. Like, you're involved in a major, huge family all across the world. So
yeah, that is, I couldn't put it better. I mean, that is very true, because, you know, my career started with our local, and I know it was Eugene Fackler, Bruce Sisson, Bob Gusford, Bob Hager, Eric Buck Smith. They all took me under their wing. But one of the people I do want to mention who just passed away from a heart attack is Don Richter. And if anybody attended the U.S. Masters this past year, they saw Don Richter at the gate greeting them and telling them where to park. And that was Don Richter. He was the Eugene Disc Golf president right before me. And I learned so much from him. And him and Paul Mize both have passed away. And there were two of my you know, to the people that supported me and taught me the ways of disc golf, and then the PDGA, and then, you know, then I was encouraged to run for the board, and they backed me up the whole way. And I, you know, and Jim Johnson, I will never forget what these guys did for me. And then when I got on the board, it became Andrew Sweeten and Dan Stork Roddick. And two years ago, I got the opportunity to meet in person George Sappenfeld. And I just, the history of our sport is just so amazing. And Jen, you have one of the lowest PDJ numbers out on the tour. You know this history. And it is just, it's just amazing how much I've learned from everybody, and it's come to fruition what I can do with this experience that these people lent to me and let me grow off of. And I'm excited. This is a role that I plan to excel in, and I hope that you'll see that difference out in our majors.
Well, speaking of that, the first major that you will oversee as director of competition will be, of all things, U.S. Women's here in not quite 2 months from now. It's getting close. We're getting down to like counting days. We're 50 days, 45 days. We're getting close. That's an event that is happening maybe a little bit earlier in the calendar year than it has in years past. It gets to kick off the major season. I don't know if that's happened very often for U.S. Women's to be the kickoff. It was one of the last majors last calendar year. So there's only about a 6 month layoff between this major happening again. It's going on in Austin. This is your chance to light the fire, you know, of hype about this major. Or, you know, what, how are things going setting up for it?
Well, first of all, we have a wonderful local organizing committee. We have Zach Jansen, who is the owner of Mint Disc, and he has included all of these other manufacturers into this to make the most and the best experience for these women. But not only that, he has Chrissy Fountain beside his side, and Chrissy helps run the wildflower tour in Texas. And there is a wolf pack, and I can't remember them all, but Des Redding is part of that. Stephanie Vincent. And actually, when we did the site visit, Stephanie came out and did the site visit, walked the course with us. And I thought that was really great, because we see the perspective from me being a true amateur trophy only to Stephanie Vincent and Chrissy Fountain, who is in the FPO field. And so getting those two different perspectives. Also, we're women. So usually that doesn't happen on our site visits. Jimmy Kemp, who is new to our operations logistics team, is revisiting those site visits, making sure that Sprinkle Valley is as up to where it's supposed to be. And they have so excelled on everything. They have great ancillary events planned for the ladies. And we meet every week, and, you know, their social media, if you look at the USWC's social media, PDGA, we do our announcements, but that social media is all our local organizing committee.
And it's fun. They're putting some fun stuff up on their social media. I've been enjoying it.
Yeah. And so, you know, and being only 6 months from, not even 6 months from our last one, you know, there was some feedback on that. And we understand that, and we didn't want to have it in this. But if you put it major in middle of June or July in Texas, you're going to roast. But one of the main decisions that went behind that was our elite tour, and the Texas Swing is during that time. And so those ladies from the Texas Swing will be able to attend because of that. And maybe that's, you know, another discussion that we could have in the future. But for now, that is one of the main reasons that we did it in March. And just because, you know, and I don't want anybody to think that they've been slighted of their title, because they'll have that title for life, for the rest of their life, the USWDGC champions. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we have an event between 3 months or 6 months, that's your title for life. No one will ever take that away from you.
That was nothing that really even popped into my mind. I know there was definitely some talk on social media about that, that we didn't get to have the title for a full year. And I kind of thought the same thing. I'm like, well, we won the title. Like, yeah, it's our title. It doesn't really matter when the next one is. And it does just make sense with traveling. We're all going to be there, and it's a new place. You know, we haven't been, one of my first huge events that I remember was down in Round Rock with, you know, women's doubles and all those tournaments. So I'm super excited to go back. And I think the girls down there are going to do an incredible job. Like you said, all the little things, the wine and paint and everything that they have planned. So when all the women get together, we have a great time anyways. But I know that they are going to try to go above and beyond and make it absolutely, you know, one of the best U.S. women's ever. So super excited.
Well, and it really drives home the family aspect. Certain majors do that. They drive home the family aspect of the sport because all different divisions are represented at one event. How many courses will be in play down in Round Rock and the Austin, Texas area in order to, I mean, there's the juniors, there's masters, there's the FPO division. I mean, there's as they say, age protected other pro divisions. I mean, there's so many divisions. How many courses is it going to take?
22. Every division has their own.
Texas has that. Yeah, that's right. The sad thing. It's like,
okay, juniors, you're going to be in Lubbock today. Masters, we're going to put you down by Houston. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So we're going to be using Sprinkle Valley. Live Oak Brewing has a course, and they're actually putting in permanent pavers for their tee pads as we speak. Oh, well, actually, they were supposed to do it last Saturday, so they're probably already in. So Live Oak is going to be Old Settlers, of course. It's going to be part of that Ben Brook and Wilco. So all and Wells Branch. Wells Branch is smaller course, but it's so much fun. It's one that I would love to play. And they've added three holes to it to extend those holes. And those holes have become permanent. I mean, Round Rock and I guess it would be the outside of Austin is really embracing everything that this USWC is bringing. So they've really embraced it. They've made permanent changes. Wilco, Ben Brook is lowering the baskets to a height because Ben Brook had a lot of elevated baskets and even changed a couple holes just to make it more playable, but they're really embracing, this United States women's.
How many women, are currently registered? What's the player count? Do you know off the top of your head? It's a lot.
It's over three. Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's over 300. I actually probably have it still pulled.
It's definitely pulled up on over my phone. 300. It is. And I haven't checked today. So let's do
that in real time. Let's check here. It. Because I could have done that too. And I thought it'd be funded. Like we can all like
334.
334 total participants. 335. Someone registered between when you.
Literally,
I jumped
to 335.
I just got a notification that somebody read.
That is so funny. Just keep hitting refresh.
Just watch that number.
You win.
Ba-ding, that's amazing.
And what?
That is amazing.
Another thing that I find particularly special about this event that doesn't happen as much as some of the others is the way players in other divisions become the gallery. You know, for other divisions Yeah. A professional broadcasting person would have said that in a much clearer way. So you've got, for example, the entire junior field, and they might finish with their round, and then they get over so that they can watch, say, Jennifer, the FP40 field, finishing up their round, or they can watch the FPO field finishing their round. And so you get this really interesting sort of blooming of the gallery sizes toward the end of the day because it's all other players. So whole bunch of juniors, you see masters players. Some of them still have their disc golf bags on their backs and now they're and they've rushed over from another course and now they're on the course as gallery members, you know, watching, and it creates an electricity, I feel like, in the air that's mm-hmm. that only happens with a lot of passion and a lot of sort of right. internal knowledge, you know, like, well, I know how great that shot is because I couldn't throw it earlier today. You know, it's this wonderful thing happens where everybody just gets very, very excited. And then that wave gets bigger as the week goes on. I right. thought last year, one of the things I thought was really special was by the end of the day, as the final FP fields were coming in, you had people in the gallery holding their trophy. Because they had been crowned a little bit yeah. earlier in the day as the victor of their particular division. So now you've got all these gallery members. And if you look closely, you see, oh, there's a trophy. And oh, there's a trophy. And oh, there's right. a trophy. And oh, I'm betting there's a picture in that person's future, right? Because they're going to get together. And yeah. it's so cool to be a part of that. It's incredibly uplifting.
I just counted, if I counted correctly, very quickly, 26 divisions.
Yeah.
20, right. 26 total divisions.
Yes. Yeah. One of the ones that I would like to see more is the FJ8. If anybody is watching and they have an FJ8 player, get them signed up, because I really want this FJ8 player not to have, you know, because I do have one refund request, and that's from the FJ8 player, because there's nobody else signed up. And I'm kind of holding off giving that refund because I'm hoping we get more FJ8 players. But let's look at the FP40.
Let's go over there now.
There are 28 FP40 players. Last year, there were
40. Sorry, I thought you said 40. Yes, 28.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes. So, I mean, and that's full. I don't know whether anybody's on the wait list for that.
And you guys have moved.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't show any on the wait list, but I know, like, I think it was like 20 and then you gave us 24 mm-hmm. and now you bumped us to 28.
Yeah, reallocation. Yeah. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I would have to assume maybe we could get to 100 in FPO, 97.
Mm-hmm.
Still some spots there.
Yes.
So
refresh the thing again. It's probably ba-ding. Okay. I mean,
just refresh. Yeah. Yeah, so our FA4 divisions, I mean, those divisions, I'm really, really impressed with how many people are signing up for those divisions.
Well, and I've been looking at that here in Arizona. I've said it for the last couple of years. We have a ton. I mean, I guess because we live in beautiful weather. We have a ton of masters that play out here, you know, on our local events to, you know, big or small. With the MP40s and 50s and 60s, as well as even for the FP40s and 50s, for the memorial, FP50 filled up with 8 before anyone else. And so, like, it's so awesome to see these numbers grow and these, you know, like I said, whether they used to play back and there are OG members. Now coming back to play, or they've played the whole time, or they just now have their brand new membership. It doesn't matter. It's so great to see such a wide age and numbers that are out here playing. Said,
these are all the players that are going to come and watch these final rounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, with players badge, that's automatically a general admission pass to go spectate. Yep. And they have that option to upgrade to a VIP pass if they want to get closer to the action. So, and that's all on their registration page. But I mean, it's amazing on how many people they offered that canvas party, and there's a lot of people signed up for that canvas party. Then that's going to be a blast. And the juniors will have their ice cream at Live Oak. Only juniors only.
Juniors only.
Sorry, Grant.
No ice cream.
No ice cream for Grant. But so, you know, we wanted to make sure that the parents knew that this is a kid friendly place, and Live Oak has really stepped up, because Live Oak is actually a brewing company, but they stepped up just to make the junior kids feel like they're in the juniors, and the parents feel more comfortable with that. So ice cream for everybody except.
It was definitely so much fun being there to support everyone last year, and that park just set up for it. Yes. You know, we literally, mm-hmm. you turn in your scorecard and walking to the car. Well, it just so happens there's all these other divisions playing on your walk to the car.
Yeah.
So you got to see, you know, teammates in all divisions. Mm-hmm. The juniors were absolutely great. How you were saying, like, you know, watching someone else do that shot. I remember, and I recorded, I was trying not to make them nervous. And that's where I always feel kind of like, oh no, I hope they don't ever feel nervous that we come to watch them, because we want to support them.
Yeah.
But I don't think we made them nervous, because these girls were hitting like circle two putts, like they were from 5 feet. And I was just sitting there like, are you kidding me? Like the entire card, like hit these huge putts, and it's so fun to see. And you get to see their excitement and their love of the game growing, like right in front of your eyes. Like they're hooked for life. It's so fun to watch.
It's not only that they're hitting putts, but they're driving. And there was a couple of comments that I may have made said, when I grow up, I want to be like you. I mean, because you know, they're driving 300 feet. I'm like, geez, you know, they have that natural ability. So, you know, if you can start young like that, I wish I would have started that young. I would be 10 years away from Masters if I started that.
You're almost there, Rebecca.
We all know that's a fib. But, you know, maybe I feel 30 sometimes until after setting up all the assets for U.S. Women's. So the next day.
Yeah, this girl, like, you'll stupid. See her.
I know how that feels. Oh, my God.
Tent on her shoulder, like trying to walk by herself with those things are so heavy.
Yeah.
You lug those things around like it's nothing. Yeah,
it's all hands on deck when we're breaking down. That's another aspect, by the way, of the operation and logistics that sometimes gets overlooked. Someone's got to pick all that stuff up and Tetris it into the PDGA trailer, because it may need to hit the road pretty quickly to get to the next location with adequate time to reset it up. That's an incredible chore in itself. Every once in a while, we're lucky enough that we have some golf carts or gators or something like that, some kind of machinery. And I have been I don't know if I'm the lucky one or the unlucky one. It depends. That has been like, well, Grant, go with Rebecca. You know, because all of us that are left there,
she's gonna put you to work.
I end up with Rebecca, and we end up 40 acres away picking up feather flags, and then I have to pick up as many as you. Otherwise, I feel like I'm not.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Is crazy.
I dare you,
Rebecca? Maybe.
Yeah. There's always.
Go ahead. There's always what?
There's always this bruise right here that I keep.
Yeah.
All season
that
long.
That tent
right here.
Yeah, from the tent.
From the tents and the feather banners. It just stays there. It doesn't hurt too often, but it just stays there.
And those tents are no joke, by the way. I've seen them withstand severe thunderstorms. And where I live, we know severe thunderstorms. So those tents have some oomph to them, even with the stakes in the ground that help. But those tents they're semi-permanent structures. I'm willing to... Rebecca, maybe this is a good final topic to get into. You know, whenever somebody gets either elected to a leadership position, appointed to a leadership position, they come into an organization or are promoted, there's always the question of what are you going to focus on? And that's not a slight to whoever held the position in the past. It's just there's always that sort of, there's a new mindset, a new perspective. A person often has at least a handful of things in mind that they say, this is what I really want. This is a blind spot maybe that I've seen and I want to address it. This is something I'm passionate about and I want to make sure we do something about. For you as director of competition, what are some things that you would like to focus on now that you have the, shall we say, the authority to do so? What are some things that we can maybe expect to see as the year or the years unfold at PDGA majors that you're saying, I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on making that better. I'm going to make that a thing. What do you have?
My focus is strictly going to be on our 11 majors. And, you know, one of the things we have coming up is a major that's going to be in Europe, which will be totally different that we've never experienced before, but I think it's going to be fantastic. But concentrating on those majors, and yes, we have college, anywhere from college to the end, you know, the end of USDGC. So making those majors better, working with those local organizing committees, because we have our USAMs our U.S., our college, and then our USDGC that does not change position. And so those majors, we have come a long way in working with those partners and making them more major-like and more official. College is going to be different this year than it's ever been. Chad Sullivan has taken the lead as tournament director in that, and he's already cracking the whip on these college kids. So you'll see that in Rock Hill. And, you know, they're getting their rosters registered. You know, registration has opened already, and they're getting their rosters corrected, updated. And, I mean, it's fantastic. We really haven't seen that in the past years. But moving forward, you know, because this year's already kind of been set, so I'm kind of stepping into this with it already being set. So we're just doing what we can, and we're doing the best that we can with the majors. And we've had great leadership going into this year, and, you know, we're way ahead of what we usually are. So with that being said, in the future, I want to really concentrate on our bids and these local organizing committees that are doing these bids. I want to do site visits before we even award a major. And that is one thing that we will definitely concentrate on. Our bid packages are going out earlier this year, so we'll have that time this year to go and do our site visits. And doing this, it will make our major stronger and more major-like in the future, and better prepared for these competitors that spend a lot of money and a lot of their time to come in. And if it's a subpar course, we're not going to accept that. This course, every course that they make, we want to make it a major course. And doing the diligence of doing these pre-visits with the local organizing committee will help with that.
So the 2025 locations have already been selected. Those bids have been awarded. You referenced one of them, probably the most noteworthy, the first PDGA Worlds that will be in Europe in 2025. The request Yes. for bids will go out here in just a few months' time. It'll go out late spring, early summer, somewhere in there for at least 2026, but also 2027 will go out earlier than it has in years past to give us a much Yes. longer runway leading into those events. So I want to, though, be clear, if you're thinking about putting in a bid, you can get a lot of information before. You don't have to wait until you put in the bid and then Yeah. find out. You know, you can get a lot of information on how to put a bid together, what you need to have in place, those sorts of things from Rebecca and her team, from the event support Mm-hmm. team, from lots of different resources at the PDGA. Right. So keep that in mind, since now you will have even more time to plan for your major if you were forced to win mm-hmm. the bid. So that's something really, really good.
Yes.
Rebecca, I'm sure you're super excited to get to go to Europe because your trip got cut before it even started last year with tearing your Achilles. Oh. What? Yeah. Sorry to bring that up. But is that like, what do you think? Can you pick which major you're most excited for this year to go to?
So I'm excited for Europe for this year, not only because yeah. I didn't get to go last year because of an injury, but because not only are we going to be doing site visits for the 2025 Worlds, we will also be doing a site visit for the 2025 European Open, which is going to be held in Estonia. So I'm excited about that because the Estonia Festival goes on after the European Open. But the one that I'm always excited about, and I'm brokenhearted because I will not be at that major, is Junior Worlds. And because Aww. It is going on at the same time, and it is in Tulsa, yep, Oklahoma.
That's right.
That is yep. by far, that and the Masters, by far, my favorite majors ever. And I explain this to people. You know, Junior Worlds, you see this light that you don't see out on tour anymore. And in the Masters, you also see that light, because in the Masters, you have this foundation, and you look across these Masters fields and you're going, oh my gosh, legend, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. These are the people that laid the foundation.
Double digit, double yeah. digit.
These are the people that laid the foundation for the PDGA. And when you go to Junior Worlds, you're going, oh my gosh, future Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. These kids and they emulate the pros. And I always tell the pros, be careful, because these kids are watching. And, you know, you see the Paige Pierce putt, you see the Nate Sexton twirl out there. And I mean, it's so exciting. And, you know, it's, these kids are actually watching, and they're watching DGN. So I always encourage these pro players, you know, if you get mad, but try not to slam your bag down, or try not to curse on camera, because you do have, you do have these juniors watching you, and they do emulate. And I'm so brokenhearted. I'm going to miss that, but I'm excited for the opportunity of the European Open, because that is where our world is going to be next year. And lo and behold, we get to hear a different national anthem. That's amazing.
Yeah. You're not going to, they're not going to make you sing.
No. Oh my goodness. No, no. Could you imagine?
We had
to sing the finish.
We had to break the news to Avery last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever, because he's never missed a European Open, but his son is going to be playing in Junior Worlds, and he hadn't double checked the calendar yet. So it is, there are definitely some major conflicts in the schedule this year that are really tearing at our hearts and making us like choose where we have to be.
Yeah.
We can't be everywhere, but we would love to be everywhere.
I mean, especially for, I mean, Oklahomian, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm going to Junior Worlds. Yeah. I'll be at Junior Worlds. So
I will live vicariously through you, Jen.
Yes, we will. We will do. Yeah, we'll send notes back and forth to each other of like, okay, when you come here, or this is happening, or we'll take lots of notes to each other.
Notes, pictures, all the things. We'll just
all share. Of it.
Maybe just a live cam.
FaceTime.
FaceTime a live the cam whole time. Mounted on the side of your head, and this you just constantly look down and pretend I'm the one walking around in Europe.
You know, sure. when Grant and I are doing our live show, we need to like
satellite
bring
link.
In Rebecca. Yeah. Yes.
You know,
so we can join in, and you can join in part of it, and we can be a little bit living through you and the European Open.
You're gonna have to add that to your budget.
Disc Golf Planet did
or your time schedule. Yeah,
exactly. Disc Golf Planet did do a simulcast with the Glassblown Open in Emporia. We were in Emporia, and also broadcasting the college nationals that were being held at the Hippodrome in Augusta, South Carolina. So there's always, maybe DGN could do something like that.
Because that was a couple years ago.
Just split screen. It's easy. No big deal.
We can do it.
Rebecca, thank you so much for making time for us today. I'm so very happy to get to be a part of announcing this new role for you. And I think it's going to be incredible. Not that you didn't already have all of what it took to boss me around, but now now I have to be more polite when you do, I guess. I don't.
You just make it easy.
I am an easy target. We really appreciate it. We know how busy you are. We know that lots of things are already trucking hard for 2024. And not only that, you're already looking at 2025 and beyond. So thanks for this little bit of time. We know it's going to be harder to get some time from you the next time around. But when we can, we'll have you back. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.